13, this time starting at verse 18, for the parable of the sower explained. Between our two readings here this morning, you'll remember that a couple weeks back we looked at the purpose of the parables found in verse 10 and following. Jesus asked his disciples, why are you now speaking in parables? Because up to this point he had been speaking very clearly without the use of parables. And Jesus explains why he is using parables. It was actually a sign of judgment on the crowds for their rebellion. Jesus had clearly spoke the truth to them in many ways, and yet they refused to believe. So now parables would be the means of separating the crowds in general from his disciples, where his disciples would enjoy the benefit of the explanation and the application, where the crowds would simply be left to wander around in the dark. So let's continue reading then in Matthew 13, starting at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. Let he who has ears, let him hear, and we pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning as we return to our consideration of the parables, we find that Jesus is applying the very purpose of parables in this very parable. Parables are, as we looked at a few weeks ago, they're earthly stories with heavenly meaning told to blind the rebellious and enlighten the righteous. Parables are used with a dual function, for closing and opening, for revealing and concealing. As you will remember, with the keys of the kingdom, preaching is the key by which things are opened and things are closed. So it is with parables, which are in fact preaching, which this parable is illustrating the work of preaching itself. Jesus Christ is closing and he is opening. Through the parables, his work of division and election is being done. While the wicked might have enjoyed having their ears tickled for a time, being in the presence of this great miracle worker, that little good that had been given to them will soon be snatched away. While the true disciples, those who sit at the feet of Jesus in humility, will see the work of Jesus, the sovereign electing work of God, in greater clarity. In other words, as we read this parable this morning, we are not to think that this parable is teaching us about farming techniques. This is not teaching us about the best way for plants to grow. Rather, Jesus is explaining the connection between preaching, regeneration, and the necessary good works. So this morning we look at this theme. Jesus Christ sows the seed in this world to divide the righteous and the wicked. Remember, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ knows the heart of every man. Jesus could look at his disciples and see, well, this one is elect. This one is going to be given the Holy Spirit. This one is going to believe, so I'm going to preach the gospel to this one. But this one is not. And then refuse to preach to him. But Jesus sows the seed without discrimination, freely distributing it to all, knowing the hearts of men. So the first and primary purpose of this parable is descriptive. Jesus is describing the people who are gathered around him, and in his description, he is dividing his hearers into two groups, the sheep and the goats. So in our first point then, we look at the sower and his seed. Our parable begins with a sower going out to sow his seed. Now this may not be a very familiar way of agriculture today, but basically we have a farmer who is going out into his field and he's going to plant this seed into the field. The manner of planting is the broadcast manner. A farmer would walk through his field, he would have a bag of seed slung over his shoulder, he would put his hand into that bag, grabbing the small pieces of grain and scattering it into the field. He would throw it into the wind and the wind would carry it where it would. It was a very indiscriminate way of planting the seed. It wasn't in rows, it was planted by this broadcast manner. And the field in which he was walking was traditionally a long and narrow field surrounded by a path. Each field passed on from parents to their children, from fathers to their sons, and it was a very narrow, a long tract of land surrounded by a path that was traveled by everyone, which formed as the division, the edge, the border of that particular field. Maybe we can illustrate it like this. Children, around this time of year, or maybe last fall, you saw your dad go out into the front yard, and he worked the soil with his metal rake, and he put his hand into this bag of grass seed, and he kind of scattered that seed into the front yard. That's kind of the idea here of this sower, casting handfuls of seed upon the open ground. But who is the sower in our parable? Well, the sower in our parable is, in fact, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one sowing the seed. He is spreading the seed. What is the seed? The seed is the word, specifically the word of the kingdom. We could say the gospel. It's being distributed. It's being cast out into the field. The field here represents the world in general, but specifically the people who are here gathered. Look at verse 1. Many people, great crowds, had gathered around Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, in this illustration, he's illustrating himself and his work, this particular context. He is saying, what I am doing is I am sowing the seed, I'm spreading the word to this great crowd of people who are here gathered. So the field represents those who are listening and the state of their respective hearts. But how will each person receive the word? How will they respond to the word? That is the purpose of this parable. But before we move on to our next point, the work of spreading the seed has not concluded, even though Jesus Christ is not here earthly present. Jesus Christ is continuing to sow his seed. He's continuing to scatter the word, to spread the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ even to this day. Even though Jesus Christ is in heaven, seated at his Father's right hand, we confess this about the church, don't we? Jesus Christ continues to gather, protect, preserve. He continues to establish his church here on the earth. He continues to do the work of using the church, even today, to bring the good news, starting in Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth, because he is Lord of the world. He is King of kings. And Jesus continues to use the church. Even today, brothers and sisters, what is taking place here in this church is an application of this very parable. Right now, Jesus Christ is sowing his seed. We can imagine Jesus walking up and down the rows of this very church, spreading the word, scattering the seed, and it falls on various hearts. So the context is many people have come to hear, and Jesus is spreading the seed, scattering the good news. But what kind of people have gathered? What kind of hearts receive this word? Well, in our second point, we look at the fruitless soil. It is striking as we read our parable that there are so many different kinds of fruitless soil. There are, in fact, three different kinds of fruitless soil and only one kind of good, fruitful soil. To say this another way, there are many reasons why people do not produce fruit. But there's only one reason why someone would and will produce fruit. The first kind of fruitless soil is found in verse 19. The seed falls along the path. Now, children, remember, as the sower is going out and taking these handfuls of grain and casting them to the wind, there is a hard-packed path around the outside of this particular field. As the seed is spread to the wind, some of that seed falls upon the hard path, remaining on the top of the soil, trampled by men, if you will. Soon the birds come and gobble up that seed. Now, children, maybe you can think back to when you saw your dad in the front yard planting the seed of grass in your front yard. Maybe some of that seed fell along the sidewalk. Does that seed on the sidewalk ever do any good? Unless it is removed off the sidewalk, it remains on the sidewalk, it just sits there day after day, and soon the various critters will eat it. The seed on the sidewalk remains on the hard surface. It does no good. It does not penetrate the heart, and therefore is removed. Jesus is here saying, some people's hearts, the way that they receive the word, is like this hard path. Like the hard packed dirt that has been trampled by men, some people come to church, or some people listening to Jesus in our context, have hearts so hard that the word never finds a reception. They come to church or they listen to Jesus with a rebellious attitude. Jesus would put it like this: hearing, they do not hear. Jesus says these people's hearts are hard, they are rebellious, they sit under the preaching, and yet they have not come in humility. They are unmoved, and they have little desire to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Their hearts are hard like granite. If you pour water on this granite rock, nothing penetrates. There's no humility. They shut their ears in rebellion. They do not understand, and they have no desire to understand. And as soon as they walk out the doors of the church, the devil swoops in and snatches that seed. These poor, miserable sinners go through life unchanged, hearing the word they do not hear. This, brothers and sisters, is a clear warning to those who sit under the preaching, who sit under the teaching of Jesus Christ. If upon hearing that word, you do not take that word into your heart, if you do not embrace that word, if you don't hide that word in your heart, the devil might just come, swoop in, and steal that word away. And it does you no good. In fact, you suffer great loss. That is the first kind of hard, unfruitful soil. The second kind of unfruitful soil is the rocky ground in verse 20. In verse 20, we read that there is a rocky soil upon which this seed falls. In Judea, there are areas of limestone found only a few inches under the soft surface soil. In northwest Iowa, there's a section of land near Rock River. There are no fields that can be planted there, only pasture, because there is rock right under the surface that would hinder the work of any farmer and hinder the growing of any seed. So here in verse 20, Jesus says there are people who come under the preaching of the word, who are listening to Jesus, or even today sitting under the preaching of the word, who are like rocky soil. When that seed is planted, when they first hear, there is an initial sign of life. There is a quick joy, if you will. But as soon as persecution comes, as soon as the temperature rises, as soon as trials and hardships come upon that person's life, that sign of life withers up, dries, and turns to nothing. These kind of people are those who come to church or listen to Jesus and have a superficial but temporary joy. They are interested in the things of the faith as long as everything is good. They are happy to enjoy the benefits of being numbered among those who belong to Jesus Christ. But as soon as the fire of persecution comes, this persecution has a way of exposing what lives within their hearts. They are what you would call fair-weather believers. Their faith is not a true and living faith. Their Christianity is a social thing. They enjoy the benefits of the fellowship, but they are just trying to fit in. So they do not bear fruit. And Jesus compares these unfruitful, fair-weather Christians to the seed planted on rocky soil. And then the third kind of fruitless soil is that which is sown among the thorns, verse 22. Some of the seed falls upon patches of weeds, particularly those weeds of thorns and thistles. Now, as the farmers in our midst will know, thorns and thistles have a taproot that goes down deep and spreads quickly. When that seed falls on this area of soil, that area of soil is already occupied. There's something already living there. The seed that is sown there is choked out by the cares and concerns of this world. Jesus says, the deceitfulness of riches. For this particular person, the deceitfulness of riches are more important than the things of this world or spiritual life. These kind of listeners are more interested in money, pleasure, passing hobbies of the flesh. These kind of listeners may go to church consistently for a period of time, but soon that consistency wears away. They start going to church only once on Sunday, and then it's once a month, and then it's never at all. Because Sunday for them is the day of recreation. Sunday is the day where they do the things that they enjoy more than going to church. They're too busy. They have better things to do as they pursue the things of this passing world. The hobbies of the flesh provide more pleasure, more significance than the things of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. So to receive the word properly, true and living faith evidences itself in consistent, fruitful living. We see this all the time around us. People who are joining the church for their various reasons, people may be manipulated by emotions only to turn away. People who make a profession of faith but have made that profession of faith for all ulterior motives. To put it this way, we are not saved by making a profession of faith, but we are saved by the possession of true faith. It is very easy to make a profession of faith, but to have a credible profession, you must be in possession of true and living faith. What is true and living faith? It is a faith that endures and a faith that is fruitful. Many people have made a profession of faith only to deny their Savior by their actions. People can deceive for a time, but Jesus says you will know them by their fruit. The kingdom of God must be sought first and foremost above all others. To be clear, what unites these three different kinds of soil is this: they remain fruitless. How can you tell an unbeliever but by their lack of fruit? These three kinds of hearers were present in Matthew 13. Jesus knew that looking at the hearts of those who had gathered there, there were people who had hard hearts. There were people who were coming for various reasons. People were looking for the joy of passing happiness. They saw that Jesus was a teacher like no other. They came to have their ears tickled. But as soon as persecution would come, they would fade away. Others are following Jesus Christ because they are looking for a free meal. Jesus is the guy who turns a few loaves into bread to feed the multitudes. If we go and follow Jesus, he gives us free food. That's the kind of leader we need to have. Bread, giving bread that fills our body. But as soon as the pressing needs of daily grind are impressed upon them, they will go to their normal lives never to return. One application we can have before we get to our last point is we need to be careful what kind of soil we are, what kind of reception we have when we are listening to God's word. Be careful how you hear. For Jesus says, "Let him who has ears, let him hear." Do not be like those who hear but don't hear. Rather, if you have ears, make sure your ears are hearing. You are a good hearer. True faith is a living, active, persevering, and fruitful faith. There are many things, brothers and sisters, many things that are working against us even today. The devil would like nothing more than to swoop in and steal the word so that you walk out the door and What just happened? Well, you know what? There are other people who sit through the preaching and their minds are planning the week to come. I can't wait to get home so I can watch this football game, or I can play this video game, or I can watch this live stream. Our minds are not present. I can't wait to do something else, which I really enjoy. I'll sit through church because my parents want me to be here. I'll sit here because people expect me to be here, but I don't really want to be here. There are others who, when persecution and trial comes upon us, expose the shallowness of faith, which isn't true faith. So the fault is not in the message, but rather it's in the heart of those who receive. It is clear that these people are the goats that Jesus Christ is going to separate, put on his left, and say, "Away from me, I never knew you." These listeners are hard and rebellious, even if showing a friendly exterior. They will remain in their sins. This is a sad truth, that the fruitless soil doesn't know or doesn't care about its lack of fruit. They're too hard-hearted. They're too concerned about the things of this world. They're too busy to care. But praise God, there is another kind of soil present. So Jesus says in verse 23, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields." This kind of soil is soil that is good, Jesus says. It's not on the path, it's not along the rocks, it's not by the weeds. This fruitful soil receives the word, and what makes it evident, the state of their heart is evident by their works. They hear the gospel preaching of the kingdom with an open mind and open ears. They understand, they receive, and they respond accordingly. To be clear, it is not the fruit that makes them good soil. Fruit is the proof of the state of their heart. There is only one reason why any soil would be good. That reason is attributed to the work of the Holy Spirit. By nature, we are all hard, packed, and unwilling. Our hearts are hardened by our sin. The only way that our hearts can be receptive to the word is if Jesus Christ plows our hearts by the Spirit, uses the wind of the Spirit to blow the seed into our hearts, and uses the rain of the Spirit to nourish that seed and cause it to produce new life. Regeneration, being born again, is the work of the Spirit. But if the Spirit sees fit to regenerate you, you can rest assured that that seed will indeed be fruitful. Those whom he justifies, he also sanctifies. So by the Holy Spirit, this listener It's like good tilled, fruitful soil. And when that seed is heard, it is received with joy, embraced, and responded to. The word needs to be hidden in our hearts. Psalm 119, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word that we receive cannot remain outside. It must penetrate to the depth of our souls. And this fruitful soil then yields a harvest. The extent of the harvest, as we find at the end of verse 23, is 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold, but rest assured, the harvest will be there. The seed does not fall on deaf ears, and it does not return to Jesus Christ void. Isaiah 55 puts it like this, my word goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. The purpose that Jesus has in mind here is the seed that is sown is received and then returned as a fruitful harvest. So as Scripture would say, make your calling and election sure. God's people will be dedicated to good fruit as a proof, a visible testimony to our ready reception of the word. And whatever may be lost along the road or whatever is lost along the thorns or on the rocky soil is more than overcompensated by the fruitful plants of those who receive the word and return a good reward. Everyone who is a true Christian will necessarily be fruitful. We're looking at that in our catechism again tonight. Now, yes, we all have different talents, different abilities, different opportunities. We're called to different work and we have different gifts, yes and amen. But the fact is, every Christian will be fruitful. Every living plant produces fruit. And the fruit that we produce is returned to the Lord. Hebrews 6 puts it like this, the land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God. So our God, the Lord of the harvest, uses his people in which he has planted the seed to produce a harvest to yield a bountiful, fruitful harvest for the further spreading of that very good news. It is a joyous truth that God's people can be known by their fruit. And it is a wonderful blessing that we have when the Spirit gives us minds, eyes, ears to receive, understand, and know the truth. And the truth sets us free to be fruitful. So may we all pray that the Spirit would enable us to be good soil. And may we all, upon hearing the word, respond with faith and fruitfulness. To conclude, this first parable in our series is explaining a humbling truth, that the connection between election, regeneration, and fruit. God is sovereign over the seed and sovereign over the soil. Only the soil that the Spirit... Yet, Jesus says, take heed how you hear. So we pray that the Spirit would give us eyes and ears so that we would be fruitful within the kingdom of our God. As our theme states, Jesus Christ sows the seed in this world to divide the righteous and the wicked. Many visitors come and go to church. Many families have passed through these doors throughout the years. Many different kinds of soil has sat in the seat where you are sitting. We cannot not always discern what kind of reception the word has. But the seed must be sown. And we as God's people must be fruitful. The word must go forth. And that seed must be received today. For every branch that abides in Jesus Christ will produce fruit. And by our fruit, we will be known. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful and humbling reminder of the fact that by nature we can't be fruitful. And yet your Spirit has given us the will and the way. Your Spirit has prepared our hearts, now planting the seed, and may we now be fruitful as we are called, as we are enabled. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the sower and that the seed is good, and that it won't return to you until it has accomplished the purpose that you have designed. May it be your good design today that we would be so dedicated, so committed to that word, that we would produce a bountiful harvest for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.